listening to a message from Henderson Church of the Nazarene, online at hendersonnaz.org.
There was a ship that came into a serious storm. And the passengers on that ship were understandably frightened and a little bit stressed out, to say the least. And one of them finally got so frightened and frustrated with the tossing and turning of that boat that against orders, he went up to the deck and he made his way up to the bridge of the ship. And when he entered the bridge, he saw the captain there at the helm. The captain was at the wheel. And when the captain looked and he saw the man and he saw the terrified look on his face, the captain just looked at him and he gave him a smile, this reassuring smile. So the man returned back to the other passengers and they're wondering what's going on, and the man just smiled at them and he said, "I have seen the face of the captain. All is well. All is well. I've seen the face of the captain. All is well." You know, I think that phrase really could have applied very well to the story of the transfiguration found in our scripture passage this morning. Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the top of the mountain. And there Jesus was changed. He was transfigured right in front of them. The appearance of his face changed, and the Bible says his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. You can just imagine what an incredible sight that must have been. And along with his transfiguration, what made it even more incredible is that there came two people, very significant people out of history, Elijah and Moses. And the disciples, bless their hearts, they didn't know quite what to make of the situation. Peter, being the impulsive one, he said, "Lord, I've got an idea. Why don't we build three shelters, three monuments to this great occasion? Let's just stay here a while. Let's just relish in this moment. We don't want to go back. We don't want to go back down the mountain. Let's just stay here." And then a cloud descended on them, and a voice said to them, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And just like that, it was over, and everything was gone. And they followed Jesus back down the mountain. Peter, James, and John, they could have thought to themselves, you know, we've seen the face of the captain. All is well. Everything will be fine. They saw the glory of God through Jesus. They saw Moses and Elijah. They heard the very voice of God as he spoke on that mountain. And they could have thought, you know, we can face any storm that comes our way. We're ready to take on the world because we've seen the face of the captain. All is well. But that's not what they did. What did they do? What was their first impulse? Their first impulse was to stay on that mountaintop with all its majesty and all of its glory. Their very first impulse was to stay where they were. Their first impulse was to stay in this glory, to stay put, to not leave the mountain. And it's understandable. It's understandable. It's actually natural for us to want to stay in those kind of moments. You know, I'm a big fan of nature, and I've seen some incredible sights, like most of you. I've seen some incredible sights in nature that that just left me awestruck. And I just found myself just wanting to linger and just stay in the majesty of that moment. I can recall one such incident at a campground in Oklahoma. And we were there, and the sun was setting, and a storm came rolling in. And it's like the sky became this canvas on which God painted this incredible picture. It was breathtaking. And I found myself just lingering there. A storm is blowing in, but I'm still just standing outside. I'm just standing in the midst of it, just not wanting to leave the majesty of that moment. That is, until lightning struck about 100 feet away from me, hit the ground right there, shook the whole ground, and I knew that moment was over. It was time. That was my cue. Time to head back in. Yeah. Similarly, you know, we've been asked or approached at churches down through the years by people that would come and say, you know, we want to sign up some volunteers to lock up the church so you guys don't have to be the last ones to leave every Sunday. And it's a very kind and considerate thought, but the fact of the matter is we don't stay. Jason and I, we don't stay. We're not the last ones to leave the church because out of some sort of obligation. We're the last ones to leave because that's the way we want it. Because those Sundays, those services, those times together in our fellowship, they mean so much to me. We just want to linger in those moments. We want to soak it all in, and we want to take not waste any minute of it. So naturally, we're always the last ones to leave. And, you know, we've all had mountaintop experiences. We've all had times when we felt like we were just on top of the world. Maybe for you, it was when your children were born. Maybe it was when you were married, or maybe it's when you received just a special blessing from God. Maybe it was a time that you received that diploma, or that you achieved something that you never thought possible. Maybe your mountaintop experience happened as you just sat quietly in prayer, just basking in the presence of God. You know, many of us can recall all the times that God has brought us to a mountaintop in the church service. Times when you just felt that God was so close, that you could almost just reach out and touch him. Times when you saw the face of the captain there in the church, and you knew deep in your soul that all was well. You know, the mountaintop experience for the three disciples with Jesus on that day, it was glorious. I mean, it was really something else. And they wanted to stay. They wanted to stay and just take in all that they had seen and all that they had heard. And many times, we as Christians, we want that mountaintop experience in our faith life, and we want it all the time. We want that glorious feeling of being with God. Some people even demand it. And there are some who, sadly and foolishly, just try to manufacture it. My son showed me a video just last week of a church, and I don't know which church it was or where it was at, but it was a church that was releasing gold glitter flakes. They had a machine and were dropping down gold glitter down on the congregation during a worship service. And they were declaring, "This is the presence of God descending on you." And I just thought, how sad that is. We like the highs. We love the highs, but we shun the lows. But you know, Jesus didn't see it that way. After the mountaintop experience that Jesus had, what did Jesus do? After that experience on the mountain, what did Jesus do? He went down the mountain. He went back down the mountain and he set his face toward Jerusalem, toward the cross. You see, Jesus, he understood the need for the mountaintop. He understood the importance of the mountaintop. But he also understood that God wasn't just present on the mountaintops. He's present in the valleys too. And more often than not, the real work that God has called us to is not on the mountaintop, but in the valley. The real work is in the places that we work and we live every day. It's in the muck and the mire of the human condition, with all of its sinfulness and brokenness, with all of its frustration and anxiety and fears and worries and pain. You know, on that hill that we call Mount Calvary, Jesus felt and experienced the human condition in all of its brutality. He felt the weight of our sin. He knew the depth of suffering, of human suffering, of our suffering. He knew the anguish. He knew the despair that life gives us sometimes. He knew and he felt it all on that cross. And yet, through his glorious resurrection, he conquered it all. Jesus went to the mountain to be transfigured, but he came down that mountain to be our Savior. You know, I miss the mountaintop experiences of fellowshipping and worshiping with you in our beloved sanctuary. I can't even begin to tell you how much I miss it. I've prayed about it, and I've prayed about it, and I'm anxious for this thing to end and for us to gather once again. And I've prayed, but time and time again here recently, the answer from God is not yet, not yet. And what he's showing me is that mountaintop experiences are wonderful. They're important and they're wonderful. But right now, living, working, helping, and loving in the valleys is where the Lord is calling us to be. So this morning, if you're frustrated or you're anxious, whatever you're dealing with right now in your life, whether it's anxiety or frustration over the effects of this virus, or if there are hurts or hardships in your life that go way beyond that, let me close by asking you a simple question. Have you seen the face of the captain? Have you seen the face of the captain? Now, there's a hymn that we have sung down through the years, time and again, and it's called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And I just want to share with you the words, the verse and the chorus of this song this morning. Whatever you're facing, whatever's on your plate this morning, I want to share with you these words. Just listen for a moment. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So again this morning, as we come before the Lord in prayer, whatever is on your plate, whatever you're dealing with this morning, let me ask you again, have you seen the face of the captain? Have you turned your eyes upon Jesus and looked full in his wonderful face? Have you seen on that glorious face the smile of assurance? That smile, calm and confident, because he's not frustrated. He's not anxious. He's not worried. He's at the wheel. He's at the helm, and he is in complete command. So have you turned your face, your eyes to Jesus? Have you seen the face of our captain? And do you know, deep in your soul, all is well? Let's pray.